Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So a few years ago, Sarah and I, we were cleaning out a storage unit that we had when I ran across a suitcase that contained lots of items from my time in high school. And I hadn't looked in this suitcase in years, and so it was like opening up a time capsule full of memories. And one of the things that I found in this suitcase was a fake ID that I had made for myself when I was a senior in high school. Now, when I say fake ID, it's probably not what you're thinking. So I was on the newspaper staff for our high school, and we had an ID laminator in our classroom. And so one of my friends and I, one day, we decided to go ahead and make some unique IDs for ourselves. And to help you understand a little bit better, I've brought a picture to show you, and we're not going to show it quite yet. Because before I show this to you, I want to remind you that this was more than 20 years ago. And I realize that when you see this, you're going to want to start teasing me. And so I just have a simple request. Go easy on me, all right? So let's see this ID now. All right, here it is. And so this idea says, this card verifies that Kevin Skinner is the drill team Emerald Escort. That's a story for another day. And hereby declares that herein and hereout, he has the right to be the Mac while fulfilling his escort duties. Now, some of y'all know what a Mac is. That's why you're laughing. Some of you aren't quite sure what a Mac is. If you don't know what a Mac is, when I was in high school, a Mac or a Mac Daddy was someone that was smooth with the ladies. Clearly, I thought highly of myself when I made this ID. Here's the problem, though. I was anything but a Mac. I was a skinny, scrawny, dorky kid. I mean, look at that picture. And I am lucky that I found anyone to fall in love with me and to marry me, right? So we're in the middle of a series right now titled Walk the Walk. And as we're going through this series, we're simply walking through the book of James. Now, when I was in high school, I was not a Mac Daddy, but in my delusion, I made myself this ID, giving myself permission to be one. But the reality is that I didn't need an ID, I needed to get real, right? Because at the end of the day, when it came to being a Mac, I was all talk and absolutely zero walk. And so if I could, I want to encourage us this morning to get real. I want us to spend some time and let's just get honest with ourselves when it comes to our walks with Christ. Let's move past the church attendance and let's be honest with ourselves about our day-to-day walk with Christ outside of this building. And as we examine our day-to-day lives, I want us to ask this question of ourselves. When it comes to following Christ, am I walking the walk or am I just all talk? When it comes to following Christ, am I walking the walk or am I just all talk? Now, if you would say, you know what, honestly, I am just all talk. I go through religious motions on a weekly basis, but I'm not truly following Christ. I may attend church, but I'm not a true Christ follower. And if you would say, in your honesty, if you would say, you know what, I'm not truly following Christ, then I'm not trying to make you feel badly this morning, but I do want to call you to something greater. Because there is something greater to be had. There is something greater to be experienced than simply going through religious motions. Understand, when Christ died on the cross, He didn't die on the cross to make you more religious. Christ died on the cross to provide you with relationship. And when you enter into a true relationship with Christ through the cross, then he does call us to something greater. And it impacts our lives each and every day outside of the church building. It begins to impact our walk, our actions, and our attitudes every single day of our life. Mere church attendance can't do that for us. But this is what being a Christ follower does for us. Following Christ takes us beyond simply talking the talk and into walking the walk. There is something greater to be experienced than simply religious motions. And this is really the heart of James's letter. James is calling believers. He's not simply writing a letter to believers. He is calling believers to something greater than just going through the motions. He's calling believers to something greater than just talking the talk. Christ is calling believers to walk the walk. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 today. James 2, 1 through 13. And as you're turning there, I want to highlight what we're going to see in verse 1. In verse 1, we're going to see James refer to Jesus as our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Some translations say the Lord of glory. And the glory that James is talking about there is something that the Jews referred to as the Shekinah glory. It was a term that was reserved for God himself. So if you remember in the Old Testament, God led Israel, with Moses, God led Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And he led the people of Israel with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This was God's presence with them, and the Jews referred to God's presence as his glory, this Shekinah glory. And so as we see James refer to Jesus as our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, or as the Lord of glory, there was a very specific understanding among the readers at this time, who, by the way, were primarily Jews that had converted to Christianity. They'd come to know Jesus as their Lord. And so there was this understanding that what James was saying is that Jesus was God himself. Now, this is especially significant because while James is actually closer towards the end of the New Testament in order, James is actually one of the earliest letters written. James is one of the earliest books in the New Testament written. And so this gives us a good reminder that James and the early church knew Jesus to be not simply a good teacher, not simply a good person, not simply a prophet. James and the early church knew and understood Jesus to be God. So there's a couple of questions I want to ask you this morning. First, do you know Jesus to be God? Do you know that Jesus was more than a good person, more than a teacher, and more than a prophet? Do you know Jesus to be God? And this is an important question to ask because many in this world will accept the idea of Jesus as a good person. They'll accept the idea of Jesus as a teacher or as a prophet, but they will reject the idea that Jesus died on the cross bearing your sins and my sins, the weight of our sins upon himself, that he was buried in the tomb for 3 days and on the third day that he rose again. They'll accept him as a good person, but they'll reject him as God. But I want you to know, if Jesus was just a good person, but he wasn't God, then there's absolutely no hope for our salvation. If Jesus was just a teacher, but he wasn't God, then there is no forgiveness for our sins. If Jesus was a prophet, but he wasn't God, then when we stand before God one day, we will surely stand before him and be condemned. But the good news is that Jesus wasn't just a good person. Jesus wasn't just a teacher, and he wasn't just a prophet. Jesus was God himself. James knew Jesus to be God. The early church knew Jesus to be God. But the question today is, do you know Jesus to be God? But now let me ask a second, more pointed question. Do you know Jesus to be your God? In other words, have you submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, it's one thing to know that Jesus is God, but it's another thing to know Jesus as your God. It's another thing to submit to Jesus as the Lord of your life. You see, when you know Jesus as your God, it impacts and it changes how you live each and every day. So do you know Jesus to be your God? And if you don't, then my prayer would be that today you would come to know Jesus as your God and that you would submit to Jesus as your Lord. James knew Jesus to be God, and James knew Jesus to be his God. He had submitted to the lordship of Jesus, and this relationship that he had with Jesus was impacting how he was living each and every day. And so as we look at his letter, once again, this is a letter of James calling us to allow this relationship with Christ to impact not just how we live inside of this building, but how we live every single day of our lives, that we wouldn't simply just talk the talk, but that we would walk the walk. So with that in mind now, let's read our passage. This is James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. James said, "My brother and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, 'Sit here in a good place,' and yet you say to the poor person, 'Stand over there,' or 'Sit here on the floor by my footstool,' haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you're doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you are a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Now, as we start out looking at this passage, I actually want to take us back to what we looked at a couple of weeks ago in James chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. James gives a reminder of where our focus needs to be. While we do live in the here and now, the reminder is that we are living for something more than the here and now. In other words, our focus needs to be on eternity. And so James gives two contrasting examples in 9 through 11. The brother of humble circumstances, or someone that may not have much in this life. And then the person, the rich person, or someone that has more than enough in this life. And his reminder to both of these individuals is that these worldly circumstances are only temporary. Because one day, the brother of humble circumstances will get to experience the richness of Christ's presence for all eternity. But the rich person, even if he has a lot of great stuff in his life, all of this great stuff, he's not going to get to take any of it with him when he goes into eternity. And so really, this is a call for believers to view ourselves through the lens of eternity. We are to view ourselves through the lens of eternity. And here's what happens when we view ourselves through the lens of eternity. We don't think too lowly of ourselves, but we also don't think too highly of ourselves, because we realize that no matter how our lives look today, whether our lives look great from a worldly perspective or whether our lives look not so great, no matter how our lives look today, we are living for something more than today. Now, I think it was important to circle back to those verses Because as we look at this passage today, we are reminded that not only are we to view ourselves through the lens of eternity, but we are reminded that we are to view others through the lens of eternity as well. We are to view others through the lens of eternity as well. Because here's the deal, how we view others will impact how we treat others. How we view others, it's going to impact how we treat others. So a couple of Fridays ago, we had field day at Ethan's school, at the elementary school. And one of the things that I like to do when I go to my kids' events at the school, I like to walk around and find the people that I know. I like to find you guys, church members, so I can say hi to you, or others in the community that I've met before that I recognize so that I can say hi to them as well. So I'm walking along the track, and I see a lady that from her side profile, I thought she was someone that I knew. She looked like someone that I recognized, and so I walked up behind her. I patted her on the back. I said, "Good to see you today." And she turned, and she kind of said, "Good to see you too." You know what I mean? Clearly, she was not who I thought she was. And I said, "I'm so sorry. I thought you were someone else, but I can say hi to you too." Right? Kind of an awkward moment there. But how we view others will impact how we treat others. I viewed her as someone that I knew, so I went and I said hello to her. How we view others will impact how we treat others. And so our passage today is a reminder for us that not only are we to view ourselves through the lens of eternity, but we are to view others through the lens of eternity as well. And so as we walk through this passage now, as we remember that one, we are to submit to the Lord of glory, we are to submit to Jesus as our Lord to impact our day-to-day lives, and also we are to view others through the lens of eternity, there's three truths that I want you to walk away with today. The first thing I want you to see is that we are to treat all people equally. We are to treat all people equally. Let's read the entirety of verse 1 now. It says, "My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ." We are to treat all people equally. So back in 2017 in Casa Grande, Arizona, people noticed an egg-shaped object out in a field. On the side of it was an American flag, and it said the words, "Captain USA Captain J. Millard," and there was a parachute spread out behind it. People didn't know what this was, so city officials got involved and they began to investigate. And what they realized with that was that this was really just a mixer from a cement truck that had probably been sitting out in that field for about 30 years. No one had given it any attention until an artist by the name of Jack Millard decided to go and paint an American flag on it and the words Captain J. Millard, and he added that parachute behind it. Now, it's one thing for a cement mixer to go unnoticed for 30 years. It's quite another thing for a person to go unnoticed, especially right when they're in our very midst. In fact, when James says that we shouldn't show favoritism, he isn't even talking about people that we run into on the street or that we work with, that we go to school with. He says, when they enter into your midst, when they come into your meeting, the word that he uses there for meeting was the same word that the Jewish, that the Israelites, that they used for the Jewish synagogue, right? And so they understood when a person comes into your place of meeting, when people walk through those doors here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we are not to show favoritism. We are to treat all people equally. Don't give your attention only to the ones who have dressed themselves up, put on fancy clothes, maybe rolled up in a nice car. Don't give your attention to the ones that maybe the world would hold in high esteem and then neglect or ignore the others. We are to give our attention to each person equally, because at the end of the day and at the end of this life, the person who knew Christ, who was poor, they get to stand in Christ's presence for all eternity. And the rich person who knew Christ in this life, they get to stand in Christ's presence for all eternity. And likewise, regardless of earthly stature, regardless of whether we're poor or rich, if we don't know Christ in this life, we stand condemned for all eternity. You see, here's the reality for us. We will be treated equally when we die. So let's treat each other equally as we live. Let's make it our aim and our goal to treat everybody that enters into our midst, that enters into our meeting with the same dignity and the same esteem that we want to be treated with ourselves. Remembering what Paul says in Galatians 3:28. This is in regards to Christ's followers. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. We could also say there's neither poor nor rich. There's no popular or unpopular, no high position or low position. When it comes to following Christ, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Understand, Jesus doesn't look at us through an earthly lens. Jesus looks at us through an eternal lens, and so we are called to look at others through an eternal lens as well. So we're to treat all people equally. Second, we are to look at God's word in its entirety. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 again. It says, "Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." We are to look at God's word in its entirety. So what James is doing here is he's addressing something that he heard going on among believers. To try and justify showing favoritism, they would say, well, we're just trying to love our neighbor as God tells us that we are to do. In other words, they were cherry-picking Scripture in order to justify their sin. And when we begin cherry-picking Scripture, we are going down a slippery slope. So let me pause right here and say this. Scripture is not meant to justify our sin. Scripture is meant to call us out of our sin. We need to hear that. We need to grab hold of it. That Scripture is not meant to justify our sin. Scripture is meant to call us out of our sin. And certainly the temptation can be to try and use Scripture as a means of defense that so that we don't have to recognize a sin in our life, so that we don't have to be honest with ourselves when it comes to our sin. But here's something that I said last week. Right, God's word is honest with us even when others aren't. And the truth is, God's word is honest with us even when we ourselves aren't. Scripture is not meant to justify our sin. Scripture is meant to call us out of our sin. And so James says, listen, if you're going to look at the law, then you need to look at all the law. Don't just pick out parts of the law or parts of the law that you like or parts of the law that make you feel better about yourself. You need to look at all of it. Understand, if you're obeying parts of God's word and rejecting other parts of God's word, believing that you are being obedient to God's word, then you are deceiving yourself. Because to reject part of God's word is to reject all of God's word. To reject part of God's word is to reject all of God's word. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't look at and interpret Scripture within its culture and context. We absolutely do that. That is the appropriate way to handle Scripture. But as we look at God's word, as we interpret it the way it's to be interpreted, then we allow for God's word to reveal sin in our life to us so that it will call us out of our sin. We don't allow it to justify our sin. We don't use it to justify our sin. We allow it to draw us out of our sin. And this happens as we look at not just parts of God's word, but all of God's word. So we're to treat all people equally. We are to look at God's word in its entirety. Finally, this morning, we are to offer mercy to everyone. Let's read verses 12 and 13 again. It says, "Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." We're to offer mercy to everyone. So here's what happens as we look at God's word in its entirety, and here's what would happen for the Jews as they would try to obey all of God's law. They would realize, and here's what happens, what we realize as we look at all of God's word, we realize that we cannot be perfect. We cannot be obedient to every single part without stumbling at just one point. What we realize is that we are all guilty of sin. So I've been told that when you turn 40 years old, that your eyesight starts to get worse. I'm 41 now, and I still have 20/20 vision, and I'm going to keep that for as long as the Lord allows me. I'm not trying to test the Lord today, right? I'm going to keep this as long as the Lord allows me. But you know, when we say we have 20/20 vision, we're not really saying that our vision is perfect. What we're saying is that we're able to see something clearly that's 20 feet away. All right, so I want to dispel a myth that maybe you came in believing this morning. And it's the myth that when we say we are a Christian, we're saying that we're perfect. That's not what we're saying at all. When we say we're a Christian, we're not saying we're perfect. What we're saying is that we can see clearly the sin that is in our life. And because we've seen our sin clearly, we recognize our need for a Savior, and we have called out to Jesus that we might receive mercy. So here's the truth. We all need mercy because we've all sinned. Every single one of us. You need mercy and I need mercy. We all need mercy because we've all sinned. And if we recognize that we ourselves need mercy because of our sin, then it reminds us that we need to be willing to offer mercy to others as well. We all need mercy because we've all sinned. And so we have this call to offer mercy to everyone because we ourselves need mercy. But then we have this great reminder at the end of this section. James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And this is such a great reminder for us because while judgment condemns, mercy sets free. Maybe you need to hear that today. While judgment condemns, mercy sets free. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore sin or that we even accept sin. But what it means is that we offer mercy to others that they might come out of their sin. In the same way that Jesus responded to the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." While judgment condemns, mercy sets free. And so I want to pause and ask you today, have you been set free by the mercy of Jesus? Have you seen clearly the sin that's in your life? And have you cried out to Jesus that you might receive mercy for your sin? Have you been set free by the mercy of Jesus? And if you have, then you have a call to treat all people equally. You have a call to look at God's word in its entirety, and you have a call to offer mercy to everyone. And in other words, if you have received the mercy of Jesus, if you've been set free by the mercy of Jesus, you have a call not simply to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. But if you haven't been set free by the mercy of Jesus, then I want you to understand that the mercy of Jesus, that offer, stands for you today. It doesn't matter where you came from today. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you would say you're poor, or if you would say you're rich, if you have fancy clothes, or if you drive a nice car, it doesn't matter what your the level of education you have. None of that stuff matters. All of that is earthly stuff. Today, if you would recognize that you have sin in your life, and you recognize that Jesus is the one for you to call upon that you might be set free through his mercy, then that offer of mercy stands for you today. And I want you to know, I can say with full confidence, because of the cross, mercy will triumph over judgment. And so if you've never been set free by the mercy of Jesus today, then I want to give you the opportunity to be set free by the mercy of Jesus. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, I have never received that mercy, but today I'm ready to turn from my sin. I'm ready to turn to Jesus, not just to know him as God, but to know Jesus as my God. Today, if you're ready to submit to Jesus as your Lord, then I want to invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can step out of your seat and you can come and join me down here. Love to talk with you and pray with you. I'd love for you to make that decision today. And maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but if I'm honest, I haven't been walking the walk, and maybe there's some things you need to repent of today. You need to get that right with the Lord. Maybe you need to recommit your life to following Christ today. You can make that decision as well. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that step of baptism to publicly declare Jesus as my Lord. We don't believe that baptism saves us here, but we do believe that it's something God has called Christ followers to do. It is a step of obedience. So if you've never taken that step of obedience, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to make that commitment with you today. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I have been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do this morning, respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.